Hey, so good morning, Harbor. It's always great to see you. And I would say, like Danielle, happy daylight savings time. I'm always very excited about this additional hour of sleep. I don't really have a philosophical position on daylight's time. You ever talk to that person who is like oddly against it? I don't really have a position for it. I just know that I love it when it's fall back. Now, I feel the exact opposite when it's spring forward, but love that extra hour of sleep. So we're starting a new series today. However you got here this morning, we're glad you're here. We're starting a new series today called I Love Our Church. And maybe you heard the name of that series and you thought, I really do love our church. Always have, always will. Or maybe you thought, well, it's been a while since I've been able to say that. Appreciate your honesty there. Or maybe you would say, I love our church. I'm just not into the whole Zoom thing. Like, this has been really hard for me. Whether you love our church or you're not quite sure where you stand right now, we're going to talk about the things that make a church worth being excited about. And if we're going to do that, we have to start with the idea of mission. I mean, if we're going to ever get to the place where we can say and where others say, I love our church, then it begins with being able to say, I love our mission. Now, mission statements aren't important. They are here to help us answer the question, why do we exist? It helps us say yes to certain opportunities or even no. It helps us determine how we spend each dime of our budget. It even helps us course correct if we get off track. So, about 15 years ago, my family had moved to Boston to start a church. Our team was getting settled and getting ready for the ensuing craziness ahead. And I was invited to speak at Harbor of Hope before we launched about our mission, what we were trying to do in the city. Here's actually a picture of that day. Somehow possible that I have even less hair back then. So there's that. Well, that day I talked about our mission of helping people find their way back to God. What I didn't know was that it was the same mission statement that Harbor had and has. Isn't that crazy? Yet another reason why I felt a connection with Harbor of Hope and its people. That morning, we looked at Luke chapter 15, where Jesus was teaching and told three stories about people losing things. So, first story was about a lost sheep. Second story was about a lost coin. Third story, and longest and most famous of the three, was about a lost son. My guess is that most of us are familiar with these stories, and especially that third story of the prodigal son. The father has two sons. The youngest demands his inheritance early, leaves home, and then blows it all in some faraway place, sowing his wild oats or whatever he did. Now, eventually, the son runs out of money, decides to return home, and to ask his father to take him back. And Jesus paints this great picture for us as the father goes running out to embrace his son and to welcome him home. He forgives him right there on the spot, throws a huge party, won't even listen to his son's apology because he's just happy that his son, who has been lost, is now found. It's pretty interesting, really. It's the only time in the whole Bible that Jesus tells three stories back to back to back. And in Jesus' day, if you wanted to really emphasize something as a teacher, you would say it three times. It was part of kind of a teaching practice or a teaching art at the time. So let's talk about what they have in common, each of these three stories. First, each story has something that's lost: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Pretty simple, right? Here's the second thing. Each story has a passionate search. It's an urgent search to find that lost thing. And at first glance, the level of search doesn't quite match that which was lost. I mean, think about it. Why leave the 99 that you do have to go after just the one? And what's with the woman who lost a coin? Why does she rip her whole house apart looking for a coin? And even the son, sure, he was this man's son, but requesting his inheritance early was the equivalent of saying, I wish you were dead because I'd rather have your money than you. It was an incredibly hurtful and shameful thing to do. So when the father goes running out to meet his son in Luke chapter 15, the people listening were probably saying to themselves, let me get this straight. That kid that has totally disgraced you and shamed your family, you're welcoming him back? Each story seems a bit irrational. But that shepherd wasn't thinking economically. You don't leave 99 to go after one if that sheep is just a paycheck to you. It's interesting because other places in the Bible, it talks about how shepherds knew their sheep. And the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. They were more than just a paycheck. They were more than probably even just pets. They were like family to him. Shepherding was a very lonely profession. And so they knew each other and knew each other well. And that woman with the 10 coins, I've heard that it was said in those days when a woman got married, part of the veil she wore was decorated with 10 coins. And so it could have been like losing her wedding band or some other important thing that she had on her wedding day. And the father who's so obsessed with his son that everybody else thinks is good for nothing, well, it's simple to him no matter what he has done. The father loved his boy. So here's the last thing in common. And this one's kind of fun. Each story has a party. A sheep gets found and you throw a party. A coin gets found and you throw a party. A son finally comes home and you fire up the barbecue. You get a DJ. You crack open some cold ones and you have a party. And the point that Jesus is making here, I think there are multiple points, but certainly the first point that I think Jesus is making here is that this is the way that things work in my Father's kingdom. This is how our Heavenly Father feels about his lost sons and daughters. I don't know the backstory of why Harbor of Hope chose helping people find their way back to God to describe their mission, but I can tell you why our church chose it. Our church's name and our mission was both taken from Luke chapter 15. It was meant to remind us of that moment where people returned to the loving embrace of a God who loves them. That's why we named our church Reunion. So I feel like I know Harbor of Hope's heart concerning its mission. And let's just say I'm a pretty big fan as we get started. But here's the problem. It gets so difficult to get people to have unity around anything these days, right? I mean, we're just a couple of days away before our election, and our country is completely divided. What makes us think that as a church, we can be any different? I don't know. But Jesus always wanted his followers to be united. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays over his disciples. Before he heads to his arrest and his crucifixion, here's just a part of that prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. Speaking of his disciples, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus has always wanted his followers to be united around mission. We can have differences everywhere else. There could even be differences of opinion, even in the church, but we have to have unity around the mission of the church. And so to do that, I think we need to at least have a conversation about what it even means when you have a mission or a mission statement. You see, most of us think that the church has a mission. If you agree that the church has a mission, I want you to just raise your hand, okay? Shake your head yes with me, okay? If you would say that that's true. All right, good. Yeah, I set you up on that. That's actually false. I'm sorry to inform you that that was probably a mean thing to do. Okay, and here's the reason why. I heard a pastor one time speak about how mission existed even before the church existed. And what he said was this. Mission is rooted in God's identity. God is on a mission, and Jesus shows up and is the embodiment of that mission. For example, some 40 times in John's gospel, he identifies himself as sent. Like in John chapter 20, He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So here's what I'm saying. Here's why this author would say that the earlier statement about have a church having a mission is false or partly false. The church is sent on mission by Jesus. It's not that the church has a mission, but rather that the mission has a church. Let me say that again. It's not that the church has a mission, but rather that the mission has a church. We join Jesus on the mission that existed even before the church existed. It is so important for us to understand that God's mission is what sent Jesus, and Jesus on that very same mission is what sends the church. Mission statements are important, yes, but only to remind us that the mission is the most important thing. A church that is not on mission, well, technically, I'm not even sure that by definition, it's even a church. So our mission has to be reflective of God's actual mission and his values for a church to be a church. So let's put this to the test for a second, okay? Let's use this as a decision-making framework. Remember, we said that we were going to try to answer some questions about Harbor's future in this series. Thank you for those who have sent me questions or asked us questions, asked the elders, okay? One question, we're not going to be able to get to all of these, although I'm sure that we'll try to find ways to answer these, whether in a one-on-one or to sum up some of these that are similar, okay? You have my word on that. But the first question is something like this. Is our church going to be okay? And I would just simply say, I think the answer to that is complicated. If what you're asking is, will Harbor of Hope ever be the same? The answer is no. It really won't. We're not the same church that we once were. But that's okay, because the church is always changing. But if that's your expectation, well, I'm afraid for some folks, this is going to be a difficult season. If you don't see the same paid staff or the same people on stage or the same people in your group that you used to, I think it could be really hard for you. And I know some people might even think about leaving or might have already left as a result. And that might even be you. Listen, we understand there are some things that is making it difficult for you, for us to love Harbor right now. And maybe even making it difficult for you to stay. But we also want you to know that we want you to be here. Even if the church is not the same as it was 5 months ago or 5 years ago or when the church even first got started, we want you to be a part of that mission because the mission is the same. But if what we mean by that question is Harbor going to be okay, if what we really are asking is, hey, can Harbor survive all of this transition? Well, I think my answer would be yes. I really do believe that while there are still some difficult times ahead, that there are difficult times for all churches. And there's also something really great in store in the not too distant future for Harbor of Hope. And we don't want anybody to miss that. Now, I will say that Harbor has some adjustments to make. We have some things that we're trying to, you know, figure out when it comes to ministry, our budget, which we're going to talk about next week, the size of our staff. All of those things need to reflect the size of our congregation and the number of resources that we have, and even the needs in our community will all begin to adjust what ministry and what our church looks like. The last thing I want to say before I move to a different question is that I know that some of us are worried about Harbor of Hope closing its doors. If Harbor had to close its doors, it would be a sad thing. But if we look at this through the lens of mission, and I'm about ready to say something that might be hard for some people to hear, closing our doors would be better than Harbor staying open and not fulfilling her mission. That would be tragic for Harbor to be open, but to not be on Jesus' mission. Harbor has never been about the lead pastor or the music or the people on stage or even the building. We exist to be on mission. So no matter how much time God gives us, whether that's years or decades or centuries, no matter how long that is, we're going to focus on living on mission with Jesus. Okay? So here's the second question. When is Harbor going to reopen? Well, let me say, we want to meet in person as much as anyone else. But this is something that the elders have prayed about and looked at repeatedly. They've discussed how to keep people safe, how to be good neighbors in our community, and also not doing anything to damage the reputation of Jesus or our church. And after discussion and prayer, we just want to be clear with our community so that we don't create a false set of expectations. So we're going to do our best to do that today. We don't expect that we will be able to have in-person services before next May, because we can't figure out how to do that and to keep everyone safe. Chelmsford and surrounding towns are in the red zone, which means COVID cases are trending in the wrong direction. In-person services is about more than just people wearing masks and having fewer people in the room. Our building really isn't set up to do even those things well. It might sound overly cautious, but I work with churches all across the U.S. that are predicting that as soon as we get through the election, that more restrictive measures are going to be put on churches again throughout the winter anyway. I'm sure you've even seen how some churches have opened and who have even had a COVID outbreak, even a church near us recently. Those things don't reflect positively on churches. And again, we don't want to do anything that will cause harm to the mission or to the reputation of Jesus or our church. And as an interim pastor, can I just say, as somebody who does a lot of consulting, I really think that this is the right call by the elders. I think it's a tough decision, but I think it's the right one. Now, if infection rates continue to go down and we can figure out a way to open up safely, well, of course, we're going to do everything we can to be ready for that, even before May, okay? Even before May. But we want to be clear today, just so we don't continue to disappoint or to have different differences of opinion, again, that begin to skew expectations. Now, in the meantime, because I think this is important, we're going to make some changes to our services. If we're going to be doing this for a little bit longer, we want our services to reflect the values of our church, the gifts of our people. So we're going to begin doing things like having bands lead worship again. It's going to increase our excellence. It's going to engage more people's gifts on a weekly basis. We're also going to take steps to better engage with people beyond Sunday morning, especially those who are far from God. We know we can have more of a priority on the one and not just the 99. I think, if nothing else, that this pandemic might teach us how to be more creative on reaching those types of folks and actually fulfilling our mission, being more outsider focused as opposed to just insider focused. I think that that's one thing that we're going to be challenged by over the next few months. And we've already been challenged by it. We're also having a meeting coming up on November 9th. If you want to hear more about what we're talking about this morning, we're going to talk about these plans. We're going to talk about ways that we can all serve. We're going to even hear updates from the church, from our elders about things like the lead pastor search. And it's open to anyone and everyone. So you can put that on your calendar. November 9th. It's typically a time where we gather some of our leaders, but we're just going to start opening it to everyone. And we'll start sending out information about that this week, okay? And we would love to have you there. We would love your questions. We would love to have you as a part of the process of what Harbor looks like moving into the future. Listen, I know there are some people who would say this isn't what they wanted to hear, that they were hoping that Harbor was going to get back to having in-person services immediately. And if that's you, I'm sorry. I really am. And our elders, our team would love to talk with you about your concerns, answer any questions. So please just reach out to one of them, or you can reach out to me at my email address, and I'll make sure that you get connected. Okay? Again, I think those are good questions. Again, throughout the course of this series, we're going to continue to take more. But we need to wrap up this morning, and I want to do that in Luke 15, okay? It's interesting because each of these three stories seem to be almost identical. And then Jesus does something with the third story that's different. He adds this epilogue about the older son who came home from a long day of work, and he heard the music and the dancing, and he finds out that his younger brother had come home, and he's not happy about it. He's angry, and he confronts his father. And here's what he says in Luke 15. "Look, after all these years, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." There has been some great stuff written about the prodigal son. It is my favorite chapter and story in all of the Bible. My favorite probably book about it is Tim Keller's Prodigal God. And so if you're looking for something about some of the things that we talked about today, you want to go a little bit more in depth, I would highly recommend that book. But one of the things that he suggests is that it's not a story about a prodigal son, but two prodigal sons. Think about it. At the end of the story, who's outside the party? Who hasn't taken the father up on the offer to come inside? Yeah, it's the older brother. Sure, the younger brother has been away, but he is home now, back in this reunion embrace, right? And so here is the father's response. Let's go back to Luke 15 one more time. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found." Now, wait a minute. Is Jesus really saying that because the older brother is outside throwing a temper tantrum that he's lost? Well, Keller makes the point that Jesus is pointing out that there are really two ways to be wayward and rebellious. Number one is to be rebellious towards God so that we can get what we want. And the second way is to be religious towards God to get what we want. Because neither we're in right relationship, or neither are in right relationship with their Heavenly Father. They're simply out to get what they desire. And they just have two different ways of going about it. So as we come to really the end of a talk about Luke 15, but also about our mission too, I think like the younger brother, there are some of us that hear this message today, and we need to find our way back to God through Jesus. Jesus has a few places where he explicitly gives his mission. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This begins with belief in Jesus and repentance of our sins. And if you ever want to talk with somebody about that, we would be happy to walk you through that. Would love to set up a time to answer your questions about faith in Jesus. But Jesus doesn't just invite us to believe in him, but to be on mission with him. So like the older brother, sometimes we need to confess our selfishness, our lack of empathy, and even our desire to not be on mission. Harbor, may we be a church. If we're going to be a church where we can once again say that we love it, may we be a church that's on mission with Jesus each and every day until our last. Should we stray from that on occasion, may we get back to making it our single most important and urgent priority. And may we ultimately be a church that helps others find their way back to God. So let's close our time together in prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful that you have loved us irrationally. You have pursued us doggedly. I pray that we wouldn't just be people who accept that grace, but God, that we make it our life's mission and our church's mission. And may your Spirit enable us to live out that mission as a community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.